Our class today is about Shavuot, and I want to address one aspect of the holiday of Shavuot. Give me just a second. Okay. I want to address today the famous Na'aseh V'Nishma, will do and will hear. The answer the Jewish people gave Hashem when he asked them if they want to receive the Torah. I want to start with Pasuk in Bereshit, page 9. It will be very helpful if you have the five books in front of you, or at least the book of Bereshit. Now, Bereshit and Shmo, the five books. Okay, so in the book of Bereshit, when the Torah discusses the sixth day of creation, the Torah says as follows, in verse number 26, the top of page 9. And God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." So it's the saying that created man. In each of the days of creation, we have first a statement that Hashem says, a saying, and then how it came into being. So in the statement that in it, Hashem expresses what is going to happen, Hashem says, "Let us make man." And the question is, why is it written in the plural? Who are the us? Hashem is the only creator, so what does it mean, "let us make men"? So Rashi explains that he consulted with the angels, and the Torah teaches it to us because obviously Hashem doesn't need to consult anybody that can do and knows what he wants to do without any advice of anybody. Why did he do it? Because the creation of men will affect angels. Angels have to serve men. And if you are going to do something that will affect others, even though you have the full authority and capability and confidence that you should do it, you should consult with them. So Hashem consulted the angels and said, "Let us make men." It's famous that the angel said, "No, don't create men, because man is going to violate Torah. Man has the ability to do things that are against the will of Hashem." And the angels could not comprehend why would Hashem create a being that can desecrate his name by disobeying. And our sages tell us that while this discussion between Hashem and the angels took place, Hashem already created men. But it's obviously a midrash that needs explanation. We explained it in the past. But I want to move from here to what the Zohar says about this pasuk. So the Zohar says as follows. The Zohar quotes a pasuk from Song of Songs, right? Shir HaShirim. The pasuk discusses the coming out of Egypt, and the pasuk discusses the fact that it was in the spring. The spring arrived, and among other things that describe the spring, appears the pasuk, "Ve'kol hator nishma be'arzeinu." The voice of the chirpings of the birds was heard in the land, right? That's what happens in the spring. Things are blooming, birds are chirping, right? So it's a way to discuss it. Hashem took the Jewish people out from Egypt in the spring. But the Midrash goes further and tells us that this describes all redemptions. The sign of the chirping of the birds is the sign of the spring that is coming. Spring is what we anticipate, what we enjoy, what we look forward to. And it's a metaphor to say that the redemption will come. And the Midrash brings different times that the Jewish people were redeemed, including mentioning that this pasuk refers also to the time of Mashiach. Now, redemption is basically the purpose of creation, because redemption means the Jewish people are on the right level. That's why they are redeemed. They bring the bell to purpose. They arrive to the place where they are supposed to be. Then we'll say, spring came. So on this verse, the Zohar says the following. This refers to the sixth day of creation, where the Torah says, Na'aseh Adam, let us make man. What does this have to do with redemption? So the Zohar continues and says, because men in the future will say, will do, before will hear. Meaning, being that the Jewish people are going to say Na'aseh v'nishma, that's why Hashem creates man. In other words, if we want to know what does it mean to be redeemed, if we want to know what does it mean the world came to purpose, it is expressed in these two words, Na'aseh v'nishma, will do and will hear. So obviously it indicates to us that there is a lot of depth to these two words. The Midrash does not say, being that the Jewish people are going to accept the Torah, that's why Hashem created man. The Midrash takes one aspect, the saying Na'aseh v'nishma, as an indication of redemption, of coming to purpose. So we have to explore what is this Na'aseh v'nishma all about. And this is what I want to do today, and based on it, to understand what Shavuot is all about. Okay, so to be able to do it, I want to go to the Torah and to see where it's written. And what do we learn from the psukim that describe it? So it appears in two places in the Torah. In chapter 19, in Parashat Yitro, it's page 441. Oh, I'm sorry, that's the second time. The first time is in page 401. It's in Parashat Yitro, the parasha that the giving of the Torah is discussed. The Ten Commandments are written. And we are in the chapter prior to the Ten Commandments. The chapter that discusses what Hashem tells the Jewish people before they receive the Torah. It's where Hashem gives the Jewish people their mission statement, tells them what is going to happen now, what is it all about that is going to happen at the moment. And I want to read a little bit of it. It's chapter 19, verse number 1, page 401. So in the third month from the exodus of the children of Israel from Egypt, on this day, what was Rosh Chodesh Sivan, by the way, it was today, right? They arrived at the wilderness of Sinai. They journeyed from Rephidim and arrived at the wilderness of Sinai and encamped in the wilderness, and Israel encamped there opposite the mountain. So the Jewish people arrived at Sinai, next to the mountain. And then Moses ascended to God, and Hashem called to him from the mountain, saying, and it's a very famous pasuk, so shall you say to the house of Jacob, to Beit Yaakov, that's where the name of the school Beit Yaakov is coming from, and relate to the children of Israel. Speak to the house of Yaakov and to the children of Israel. So we have the two names of Yaakov in this pasuk, right? And the name Israel for the nation is mentioned here for the first time. The term Bnei Israel, the children of Israel, it's a name for the Jewish nation, appears here in the Torah for the first time. And what does it tell them? You have seen what I did to Egypt, and that I have borne you on the wings of eagles and brought you to me, meaning I took you as mine. And now, if you hearken well to me and observe my covenant, you shall be to me the most beloved treasure of all peoples, meaning the Jewish people are chosen now. It's the final stage of choosing the Jewish people. So mine is the entire world, but still, whom do I choose? I choose you. You shall be to me a kingdom of ministers and a holy nation, Mamlechet Kohanim v'goy Kadosh, and that's the mission statement. These are the words that you shall speak to the children of Israel. So it's telling us the mission statement. I did a lot for you up till now. I brought you to me on the wings of eagles, right? They came out of Egypt with open miracles. I took you to me. I'm choosing you to be my nation. And I tell you, what is it that you have to be? You will be my most precious treasure, even though I have all the nations. And what do you have to accomplish? You have to become a nation of priests. A priest is dedicated to the service, and a holy nation. Okay. So let's go further. Verse number 7. Moses came and summoned the elders of the people. To whom did Hashem tell him to speak? To the whole house of Israel. Moshe assembles all of them, but he speaks to the elders and put before them all these words that Hashem had commanded him. He doesn't speak to the whole nation, even though the whole nation are present there, but he speaks to the elders. The entire people responded together and said, everything that Hashem has spoken, we shall do. Okay? So he spoke to the elders. The whole nation heard, though, when he spoke to the elders. And not the elders answered. The whole nation together answered. And what did they say? Na'aseh. Pay attention to the fact that it's written here only Na'aseh, will do. The Nishma is not yet here. Right? So, first time that we hear we shall do, that corresponds to let us make men. It's the same term, Na'aseh and Na'aseh. And we know that when the same word appears in more than one place in the Torah, it means there is an inner connection, an inner connection between them. And this is what the Zohar is based on. The word Na'aseh appears in the creation of men. The word Na'aseh appears here. There must be a connection. And what's the connection? For this Na'aseh, the world was created. Okay, so that's where we hear it for the first time. And then Moses brought back the words of the people to Hashem. It raises a question. Why did Moshe speak to the elders only, if Hashem told him to speak to the Jewish people? And what does it mean the whole nation answered? Then Moshe came back to Hashem and told him, the Jewish people said, we'll do everything you said. Does Moshe have to come to Hashem and tell him what the Jewish people said? Hashem knew it before they said it, let alone after they said it. What's the meaning of it? Why is it written here? So we had questions here, right? Why the elders first and the whole nation responded? Why not just the elders, right? And then why did Moshe come back to Hashem and told him the answer? Let's go to the second place where it's written, and it's page 441. In between the two places, we have the portion of Mishpatim, which is a list of laws, mainly between men and men. And then we come back to the story of the giving of the Torah, meaning the story of the giving of the Torah is interrupted by many laws. And then we come back to the story of the giving of the Torah. Why the interruption, right? Why don't we go straight and finish the story of the giving of the Torah and then give the list of laws, right? Okay, another question. Now let's see what's happening. Verse number 3. So the Torah repeats that Moshe went up to Hashem, right? And 70 elders of Israel, but Moshe himself only went up. The Jewish people did not. And then in verse number 3. Page 441, Moses came and told the people all the words of Hashem and all the ordinances, and the entire people responded with one voice, and they said, all the words that Hashem has spoken, we will do. Na'aseh. Kol asher diber Hashem, na'aseh. So we have it a second time. When is it said? After Hashem gave laws as well. And there is a difference between the first place and this place. The first place in Yitro, the Jewish people got a mission statement, a general understanding of what does Hashem put in front of them. They undertook the responsibility to bring the world to purpose, to bring themselves to purpose, and to bring the entire world to purpose. All the nations, creation, inanimate, vegetation, animals, everything, has to come to purpose, and the Jewish people undertook this responsibility. This was the first time. Here the Torah adds, and it's after all list of ordinances, mitzvot as well. Now they undertake to fulfill all the mitzvot, and they say again, Naase. So our question is, why the interruption in the middle with the ordinances? We'll come back to it. Let's go a little further. In the next page, I'll soon tell you where it's written. In chapter, in verse number 8, I think it's the same, I'm sorry, it's the same page, verse number 8. Okay, let's start with 7. It's 7, I'm sorry. Verse number 7. The Torah says as follows. He took the book of the covenant and read it in earshot of the people. The book of covenant means the Torah till this point. Obviously, he did not give them the rest of the Torah at this point because it didn't happen yet, right? But whatever they knew already from the Torah was read in their earshot. And then they said, everything that Hashem has said, we will do and we will obey. Finally, we have here the Naaseh Venishma. So we have to understand why in the previous two places it's written only Naaseh. And will do. And here it's written, will do and will hear, meaning the famous statement that we constantly quote, the reason why the world was created was because of this statement, and it's written only on the third time that the Jewish people responded to what Hashem wants to accomplish now via them. So what happened between the first two times and the third that caused them to say what they said? So these are our questions. We have a list of questions. Why is it divided into two places in the Torah with a list of laws in between? Right? Why did they say twice Naaseh will do and only the third time will do and will hear? Why did Moshe go back to Hashem to tell him what they said? Obviously Hashem knows, right? So we want to answer these questions, and by answering these questions, we'll understand why the world was created for Naaseh Venishma. Okay? So the Ramban says the following. When Hashem told the Jewish people the first time in Yitro, the mission statement, he basically put in front of them a choice. And he said, you can accept it or not accept it. The existence of the world depended on their answer. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to ensure that they will really say yes. That's the purpose of creation. So he spoke to the elders. These are the wise, the greatest scholars, the most connected people to Hashem. And he hoped that even if the nation will not yet be there to say yes, the elders will speak to them, will advise them, as they usually do, right? And bring them to it. And it was very wonderful to hear that it was not necessary. The Jewish people as a whole said right away, we'll do, no problem. And if you look at the Pasuk, it says, Vayanu kol ha'am yachdav, the whole nation said together. And our sages tell us, you heard the word Naaseh together from everybody. Nobody said it before the other, nobody after the other. Right away, the whole nation together said Naaseh. Okay? Then Moshe went back to Hashem and told him what they said. Why did Moshe go back to Hashem and told them what they said? I want to read to you a beautiful Orach Chaim. I'll read it and translate because I want you to hear the language. It's beautiful. Says the Orach Chaim, Moshe returned to Hashem and told him the words of the nation. So he says, the meaning is not that he told Hashem that they accepted to do whatever he wants them to do. Obviously, this Hashem knows it's not necessary. Right? Ella. So what is it about? He says, Eshiv LaHashem Ofen HaTshuva. He came back to Hashem to indicate to him the way they answered. And obviously Hashem knew this too, but there was a point in coming to Hashem and tell him, see how they answered. See who they are. She'anu kulam yachdav, that all of them answered together right away. Like with enthusiasm, they didn't need any convincing. And it was not in order to tell him the information. But Moshe's intention was lefa'er leromem am b'nei Israel, to glorify and brought to Hashem the elevation, the greatness of the nation of b'nei Israel in many different ways. He wanted to show Hashem their greatness in many different ways, as the way they answered indicates. Meaning, when we look at Na'aseh v'Nishma, we have to look not only at what they said, but how they said. And what they said and how they said indicates on many levels, in many ways, their greatness. So we want to explore some of the ways that these words, Na'aseh v'Nishma, indicate the greatness of the Jewish people. If we really want to go into all of them, we will never end. But I chose a few main explanations to what was going on here that will indicate to us what does it mean, Na'aseh v'Nishma? What took place here? Okay, so let's start the exploration. What did Hashem say? I have a mission for you. And it was a response to what the angel said. Why should you create men? Men can violate your will. It's a desecration of your name. So Hashem says, because they'll say, will do and will hear. Meaning, in other words, for a human being who has choice, who has two voices in him, one that tells him, do the will of Hashem, and then one that tells him, no, don't do it. To say, we will do, even if we don't hear, meaning we put our human capacity of understanding and choice aside, we ignore it, and we answer like angels. We will do. That's the purpose of creation. It's not that big deal to be an angel and to do what Hashem said. No bad inclination, no enticement to do anything different. But what Hashem wanted when he created men was to create men that will be angels, meaning that will do without a need to hear. Without a need to hear, meaning I understand or I don't understand. I want or I don't want. Hashem said, I am eager to do it. I don't ask before, like all other nations, what's written in the Torah? It's you who speak to me? Here I am. What does it remind us of? Then Hashem spoke to Abraham and told him, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham understood Hashem is going to ask him for something. What did he say? Hineini, here I am. He didn't hear it. And after he heard, and it was the hardest of all tests, he continued with the Hineini, I am here, I am ready. Why? It's because you said. This is being an angel. And it's greater than an angel. Because in order to be able to do it, one has to overcome the inner and external voices that entice us not to listen, to put aside the logic that tells us it doesn't make sense, that put aside the questions. We are the nation who is bringing the world to purpose, the nation who keeps your Torah, And what's our fate all along history? And what's the fate of other nations? Germany today has a wonderful life, and we are in over a year and a half of war. Putting aside everything and anything, under all circumstances, without any hesitation, to be ready to say, we'll do. The hearing can wait for after. There is so room for hearing because we have an obligation and we are encouraged, it's a mitzvah, to learn the reasons to the extent that we can understand it, because this makes the Torah beloved. But this is not a precondition for the doing. First we do, then we'll see, can we understand what we understand, and so on. Now we said, this is greater than an angel. And we said that this is the first time where the name B'nai Israel, the children of Israel, is mentioned in the Torah for the Jewish nation, as a name for the Jewish nation. So let's see what the name indicates to us. First, the word Israel comes from the famous fight that Yaakov had with the angels, a fight that he won, meaning he showed that a human being is greater than an angel. If we look at the names of angels that we know, Gabriel, Michael, Raphael, Uriel, we say it at night before we go to sleep. What's in common to all the names? It has the name Kel in it. The name of Hashem is part of their name, meaning they are godly creations. Here, the Jewish people, who are people, not angels, are called Israel. The name of Hashem is put on them as an indication that even though they are human, they act as angels, and this makes them greater than angels because they have to overcome all the tests. Now, the second word in this name, B'nai Israel, is B'nai, Banim. And this is another thing that took place at this moment. What took place in this moment, in addition to the fact that they reached the peak, that they reached the purpose of creation, they became like angels, and they're supposed to live forever, if not of the golden calf, right, like angels. Something else happened. Now they became the children of Hashem. Now, we are also servants of Hashem, Avadim, Avdei Hashem, but we also are children of Hashem. And there is a major difference between a slave, a servant, and a child. A servant can be very loyal and very efficient and do exactly what he is required to do. And there are servants who are very loyal and very efficient. But part of being a servant, there is no part of being a servant that requires that they'll do it happily, that they'll do it with love. As long as they do their job, okay. And that's why a servant usually will do only what he's required to do. That's the nature of the relationship. Even a person who is hired, right, for money, right? We hire him to do a specific job. He'll do a very good job, but that's it. As much as you pay, that's how much he will do. And a child wants to please a parent. They love the parent. And they'll do beyond what is requested of them. They are waiting to hear from the parents a hint of what will make them happy in a normal relationship of child-parent, right? And they'll run to do it because they love each other. So this is what happened now, okay? By the Jewish people saying, Na'aseh nishma, we are eager to do. We don't have even to hear. The fact that it's you who tells it to us, we are here to do it, this made them into children of Hashem. Now, I'm looking for a source that I want to read to you. Number room. Just a second. Is it? Yeah. Just a second. Yeah. Okay. So we understood that the fact that they said Na'aseh v'nishma is really special. I want to bring one or two more interpretations of Na'aseh v'nishma that will give it a little more depth. Na'aseh v'nishma, we'll do. What will we do? What we know already. They are before the receiving of the Torah. This takes place before the receiving of the Torah. We go back to the story before, to chapter 19. It's only written after, right? So they said, we'll do what we know already. They got some mitzvot in Marah before they came to Sinai. They got the seven commandments of the children of Noah. So they say, we'll do what we know already. And we'll also nishma, what we will hear, we'll do. Meaning, they are ready to accept more. They want to do more, right? That's one explanation. There is another explanation of the Sephorno. And the Sephorno says the following: we'll do in order to listen. Meaning, what will be our intention? To listen to you, not reward, not benefits, even though there are benefits in doing the mitzvot. And even though there is reward, this won't be what will motivate us. We'll do because we want to listen. So obviously, it's a very, very high level that they reached. They are the best generation of the Jewish nation, as we mentioned already many times. And that's why they say it. Okay? Now, we said one time is written Na'aseh, a second time is written Na'aseh, and only then Na'aseh v'nishma. And we wanted to know what happened in between that caused them to add Nishma. So let's look in the Torah and see what's in between. So we are back to 441. There are two times here that they responded. Once Na'aseh and one Nishma. And one Na'aseh v'nishma. And we want to see what's in between that caused the change. So it's written as follows. Hashem, Moshe told the Jewish nation whatever Hashem told him. And in verse number 3, we are told the whole nation answered in one voice. And they said, everything that Hashem said, we'll do. Then Moshe writes the part of the Torah that they know already till this point. And then in the morning, Moshe gets up early in the morning. He builds an altar. I'm in verse number 4, in front of the mountain, and 12 matzevot for the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay, and he brings offerings. Okay. And in verse number 7, I want to read. He took the book of the covenant, meaning the part of the Torah that he wrote that includes all till this moment, and read it. And read it in earshot of the people, right? And they said everything that Hashem has said, we will do and we will obey. Okay? In the verse before, verse number 6, before they said the Na'aseh v'nishma, the Torah tells us, look at 6. Moses took half the blood of the offerings that he brought. We said he brought offerings, built an altar, brought offerings. He took half of the blood and placed it in basins, and half the blood he threw upon the altar. And then he read to them the book of the covenant, and then they said, Na'aseh v'nishma. So what happened here? They brought offerings. The blood was divided into two parts. Only half of it was sprinkled on the altar. The clear car explains that when the Jewish people saw that only half of the blood is sprinkled on the altar, they thought that the reason for it is because it's a covenant about the mitzvot that were given already. But they know they're going to get more. And they thought the rest of the blood, the other half, will be sprinkled on the altar later on. But let's see what happened. Verse number 8. Moses took the blood and threw it upon the people. Very interesting. Not on the altar later on, but half on the altar and half on the people or in front of them. And he said, behold the blood of the covenant that Hashem sealed with you concerning all these matters. So what takes place here is a covenant. We know from another covenant, the covenant between the pieces of Avraham Avinu, that animals are cut into half, right? And it indicates the two sides of the covenant. It's an indication that there are two partners here that connect to each other via this covenant. So we have half of the blood on the altar, meaning it's brought to Hashem, and half of the blood on the Jewish people, what means the covenant is sealed now between Hashem and the Jewish people. Says the Kli Yakar, the following, because the division of the blood was in order to throw half of it on the nation, not on the altar later, after they will get more mitzvot, but it's going to be thrown upon them now, sprinkled upon them now, to say that through the receiving of the Torah, they will become one in love and liking with Hashem Yitbarach, with Hashem. Meaning, what they were told now is, you are going to become one with Hashem. You can cling to Hashem. I am making a covenant with you. We'll be one. When they heard this, they said, Na'aseh v'nishma. I want to elaborate more on this concept based on what the Be'er Moshe explains. And it's a very beautiful thing. He says as follows, the concept of hefs is a concept that goes all through the Torah. We find, for example, that we have to give a half of a shekel, not a full shekel, for the offerings that will be brought in the Mishkan. There are communal offerings, you have to buy them. It's the whole nation's offering. So everybody brings a half of a shekel. Why not a shekel? The concept is half. We find that the measurements of many of the things in the Mishkan were halves, 1.5 amma, 2.5 amma, not whole amot, and in other places as well. What's this concept of half? So he says, if we look into creation, we'll see that all of creation is based on the concept of halves, that when they come together, they become a whole. And they are there to be together and to accomplish something together. For example, we have heaven and earth, right? Heaven brings rain to earth, right? And earth makes things grow. So there is somebody who gives and somebody who receives. That's the concept of two halves, a giver and a taker. And it's all over. The whole concept of a second generation from plants to animals to human beings is a result of two halves coming together, right? So the whole concept of creation is a concept of giving and taking. And there is the ultimate giver who gives to everybody and obviously does not receive. And this is Hashem. And for this giving, Hashem created the world. Hashem wants to do good. We don't always understand how what's happening is good. One day we will. It's not always easy, right? And we don't see it, but we believe what Hashem tells us, that everything is good, and one day we'll see it. We can't comprehend it now. But it's a message to us that we have to be also givers and receivers. Every Jew is a giver and a receiver. It's in terms of money. It's in terms of teaching. It's in terms of doing something for the community. It's in terms of only all of us together can keep the whole Torah, because there are mitzvot that only part of us can do, like a king, a woman, a man, a kohanim, levim. There is no way to keep the whole Torah unless we are givers and takers. And all of creation takes and gives, takes and gives. Earth gets rain from Shamayim. It gives the water, the minerals, and makes things grow. The things that grow give oxygen to animals, and so on and so on and so on. It's all giving, taking, giving, taking. Why? Why does Hashem want us to do it too? Because the whole purpose of creation is that we will have it good. Hashem created us in order that we will have the ultimate good. So we have to make to be partners in it and give as well. When we give others, we make the world a better place. And Hashem wants us to have a better place. He wants us to be givers. Okay? So when the Jewish people heard that Hashem is making a covenant with them, meaning he gives them the ultimate good of being able to cling to him, to be part with him, they got very enthusiastic. Meaning, Hashem enables them to reach the highest level of receiving, receiving him, having him with us. There can't be something greater than this. We can experience it to an extent in this world. There are moments when we experience it on our level in this world. The higher the person, the more he experiences it in this world. That the connection to Hashem is the main thing, right? And there will be a time that all of us will be there, right? When Mashiach comes. I just heard a fascinating statement from one of our students that is going through a hard time. And she said the following: nobody has to worry from what Hashem does. The only thing we have to worry from is losing the connection to him. Beautiful statement. And obviously it's a very high level, right? And it really did a lot to me to hear it from a student, right? I don't know the time on this level, right? You always learn from your students. But that's basically what Hashem tells them here. I'm ready to give you of myself, to make you cling to me. So the Jewish people got very enthusiastic about it. And they said, we'll hear, we'll do, and we'll hear, of course. We are totally committed. But it goes even further. Because what happened here at the time of the giving of the Torah is not only that Hashem enables us to accept the highest level of giving, it's not only that he taught us to give to each other and make the world a place, a better place, but he told us something else. He told us that not only can we receive from Shamayim, but we can give to Shamayim. We can give to the heavens. What does it mean? To give to the heavens. Hashem created angels. What does it mean? What is an angel? An angel is a messenger of Hashem that is assigned to do the will of Hashem in this world, to operate this world. Nothing happens without an angel, a spiritual power up there, making sure that it will happen. Our sages say, every piece of grass is an angel in Shamayim that hits it on its head and says, grow. Meaning, if something happens here, it means there was an order above from Hashem to an angel, make it happen. So they run the show based on what Hashem tells them, right? But they don't run the show. And what Hashem tells them, Depends on whom, depends on us. We can affect, give orders to the angels. Each time that we do the will of Hashem, it sends up a message to the angels. There is positive energy. Send it back to this world via physical and spiritual abundance. That's the system that Hashem created. Meaning Hashem made us the ultimate givers, even in Shamayim. We are those who make Hashem, so to speak, give to this world, physically and spiritually. And this happened at the giving of the Torah. Hashem changed nature. Up till now, it was just Hashem and the angels. Now, it's Hashem and the angels based on what we do. We became partners with Hashem in what's happening in this world. Now, what does it mean? What it means is that even if Hashem said that something will happen that is difficult and painful, righteous people who became, via the receiving of the Torah, partners with Hashem, as we saw, they give the orders upwards, they can cancel it, they can nullify it. Of course, they won't nullify everything Hashem says. They check what is best for the people. But we have endless stories in the Tanakh until today of very great people who nullify different difficult things that were written in Shamayim, like Mordechai and Esther, right? There was a decree in Shamayim, God forbid, to annihilate the Jewish nation. And how was it nullified? By Mordechai and Esther, that affected the Jewish people, told them what to do. The Jewish people followed. And what the message we sent upwards created what took place. So up till now, we said a few things about what Na'aseh v'Nishma is. A, it's an eagerness to do the will of Hashem, regardless of understanding, regardless of how much resistance we have. It's to be ready to follow the word of Hashem and what he tells us to do without any conditions. We said it's the ability to give and to understand the ramifications of the giving, to give each other as Hashem gives us, because we are here to make the world a better place, and eventually we'll get it fully. Now we can affect it partially, in two ways, by giving each other and by affecting what happens in Shamayim. Now, we asked, why is it that the story of the giving of the Torah was divided into two parts, part in Yitro and part at the end of Parashat Mishpatim? So one of the answers that are given is that the Torah wanted to connect the giving of the Torah to Parashat Terumah, the next parasha. We have three parashot in order. Yitro, where the giving of the Torah is discussed and the first time that the Jewish people said we'll do prior to the giving of the Torah. Then we have Parashat Mishpatim with all the laws. We thought this should be written after the last chapter, where we come back to Sinai and what happened there. But that's the order that Torah did. Discussing the giving of the Torah, what the Jewish people said to the challenge that Hashem put in front of them to become his nation, then the description of the giving of the Torah, then the laws, and then back to the story of the giving of the Torah, of what happened prior to the giving of the Torah. The covenant that was made between Hashem and the Jewish people, and the fact that they said, we'll hear and we'll do. With this, the parasha of Mishpatim ends, and then we have Parashat Terumah. What's the topic of Parashat Terumah? The topic of Parashat Terumah is the building of the Mishkan, building of the Tabernacle. which means Hashem dwells in the midst of us. So the Torah wanted to connect the words of Na'aseh v'Nishma to the fact that the Mishkan was built, that Hashem dwells in the midst of us. Meaning, if we are on this level of saying Na'aseh v'Nishma with all the understandings that we had with it, right, about it, then Hashem dwells in the midst of us. There is one point that I didn't yet address. I want to go back to all these psukim that we discussed already and find something in common to all of them that we didn't pay attention to, and add another pasuk to it, and then see why it is written here. So I'm going to page 403. It's the first time when the Jewish people responded to the mission statement, verse number 8. The entire people responded together and said, everything that Hashem has spoken, we will do. So listen to it. I'm reading again. The entire people responded together and said, and we know what they said, Na'ase, we'll do. Let's go now back to 441. The two other times that the Jewish people responded. So one is in verse number 3, 441, verse number 3. Moses came and told the people all the words of Hashem and all the ordinances, and the entire people responded with one voice, and they said, all that Hashem said, we'll do. And the third pasuk in verse number 7, and he took the book of the covenant and read it in earshot of the people, and they said, everything that Hashem said, we'll do. If you will see, you'll see that in all those places, there is something in common. It's all the people, the nation, together in one voice. It tells us that the Jewish people must be united to be one in order to receive the Torah. And the pasuk I want to add to it is when the Jewish people came to Sinai, it's written Vayichan Shama'am in the singular. The Jewish people encamped there. It's not written Vayachanu, they encamped there, but he encamped there, referring to the nation. Again, to show unity. Why is unity a precondition for the receiving of the Torah? After all that we said, we'll be able to explain it very, very well. Hashem created a reality. There is a purpose to all of this reality, to all of creation. They have to serve Hashem, all of them. But it seems not to be easy, because Hashem created things that contradict each other, that seem to conflict each other, like water and fire, like heat and cold, like different character traits in people, different opinions of people. These are obstacles in terms of unity, right? To us, opposites cannot coexist, body and soul. How do they go together? They contradict each other, they are opposites. What enables all of them, all of creation, to be at peace? We see that there is peace in creation. Heavens is made of fire and water. That's why it's called Shamayim, ash, fire, and mayim, water. Right? Opposites work together, minus and plus, right? In electricity, they work together, even though they are opposites. Magnets push away each other, but they can also be together if you change the direction, right? So we see opposites, but we see in the natural world that they coexist. And Hashem wants us to be in peace as well. What's the key for it? If we describe all of creation as a tree that is upside down, the roots are up in Shamayim, and the trunk, the branches, the leaves, the flowers, the fruits, down here. If you look And the pieces that are here, they seem separated, different, and opposing each other. But when you go upwards, you'll see that they are all connected and coming from the same source. When you come to the root, it's all one. As long as we refer to ourselves as physical beings, or to a great extent as physical beings, and just know that we are spiritual also, we have conflict between us. Because we are really different. We have different opinions, different desires, different character traits, different needs, different possessions, and so on and so on. And it can cause jealousy, hatred. One can offend each other, embarrass each other, and so on and so on and so on. But the more we understand where is our root, the more we understand that we come from one Hashem, and we are one big body, all of the Jewish people, that in each and every one of us is a limb in it, a cell in it. And it's for the purpose of creation that we will function together to fulfill the will of Hashem, the more we can avoid conflict. If we understand what we were created for, if we connect more to the source, to Hashem, and to the purpose of creation, we view each other as parts of a big operation where everyone contributes a unique thing that only he can contribute. And when we work together, all of us benefit because we accomplish the purpose. We are a team. What makes us a team? The fact that we are connected to Hashem and want to connect to Him further. This is the precondition of the acceptance of the Torah. Because if we can unite, we indicate that we understand what the Torah is all about. It wants to connect us to Hashem, to the source. And all the mitzvot that are given to us in the Torah are the ways and the means that via them we accomplish it. So it's no wonder that the Jewish people said, in unison, all that you will tell us we'll do, because we want to hear, we want to listen to you, because listening to you is fulfilling the purpose of creation and bringing peace to all of creation, inner peace, peace between people, and peace with you. All of it was accomplished by the Jewish people saying Na'aseh v'nishma. And that's why Hashem said, who revealed this secret of Na'aseh v'nishma to my children? This is a secret that only angels know. Angels who don't have a bad inclination, angels who don't have incitements, external and internal, can say, of course, we'll do, just tell us what. If people can come to this stage, obviously they are greater than angels. And that's why that's the place of the dwelling of Hashem. We say every day in Davening, right, that the angels ask, where is Hashem? They say, Hashem is holy, is beyond our comprehension. We don't know where he is. And what do we say after? Hashem is here. Melo kol haolam kvodo. This world is filled with Hashem. Why? Because we human beings, with all of our obstacles and suffering, and enticement, external and internal, can become like angels. And that's why the place of the dwelling of Hashem is here. And that's the purpose of the giving of the Torah, to make us His nation, clinging to Him, where He lifts all of heaven with all the great angels who are so holy and chooses to be in the midst of us. Okay, we'll finish here and open to remarks and questions.
Hi, Robinson. Can I ask a question, please?
Sure.
I just asked you a comment. It was such a beautiful, beautiful, clear, and uplifting shiur. I actually heard this shiur at the Pesach Seder that that's the reason in Dayenu why we can say, even if you wouldn't have given us the Torah, Dayenu, it's because of the level that we reached beforehand, that level of connection and unity, and which we're grateful for. I was thinking to myself, this whole, the word for the Hebrew word for connection is kesher. And it has the same letters as sheker, which means a lie. And I've been thinking about it a lot the last few days. And you actually resolved it by saying that in this world there are things that contradict each other. And I was thinking that anything that doesn't cause connection is really a lie. So it's that's
Right.
I didn't know if there was anything else to add to that.
You said something very beautiful, and we can go ahead with it. Not only anything that doesn't, everything has the potential to bring connection. If it doesn't, then it's sheker, then it's falsehood. But there is nothing that was created that cannot bring connection. I just read a beautiful article about spiders. And when you hear all the miracles that are the story of the spiders, you see how this small little crawling thing is basically a connection. Do you know how many types of spiders are there in this world? 45,000.
Wow.
Okay? And when you go into the details of the differences between them and how they function and how each and every one of them gets exactly what they need for their existence and sustenance and so on, it's beyond, right? So everything that exists here in this world can be a source of connection if you
Wow.
just look into it. And if you don't use it, or if you use it falsely, right, obviously, then it's sheker. So we are constantly between those two choices. Do we
Wow.
go for the falsehood or do we go for the connection?
Wow. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're
This
very
actually,
welcome.
okay, since this actually connects to my question, the Rebbetzin said that Yisrael has kale in it, referring to angelic kind of power. What about Ishmael?
There is some godliness to Ishmael too. They circumcise themselves. They believe in one God. It doesn't mean they are righteous. They could be the weakest, but it speaks about potential. Right? So they have potential. Unfortunately, they misuse it. But they
So
have potential.
what about Esav? He doesn't have kale in his name, and he had potential.
He's out. He had potential. He misused it.
Right.
There
But
were time. Go ahead.
no, I was just gonna say that Yishmael is really abusing it as well.
That what?
Is really abusing his potential also. And why is he called Peri Adam? I don't understand.
Okay, it's a whole topic, what Ishmael is and what's his goal, right? And
Right.
in a way, Ishmael is bringing the world to Hashem, even via their negative choices. Because in the 21st centuries, when the whole world is affected by some wild people, cruel people,
True, it's
and
true.
we have no safety with all of our achievements anywhere in the world, is directing the whole world to know that the only source of safety is Hashem. That all of our achievements are not going to give us anything if we don't connect to Him. And that's part of the job of Ishmael. And of course, it should have not been done via this cruelty,
Right.
right? Ishmael believes in one God. They could have brought this message to humanity via good choices. They chose to do it via cruelty. But interestingly enough, even their cruelty fulfills the purpose in this way. They will not be rewarded for it, of course. They'll be punished fully and completely for what they are doing. Right? But I don't think that in the last many centuries did we feel so unsafe as we feel today with all of the achievements in terms of science and technology and understanding of reality. And it's a very strong message. Did it answer your question?
the
It's not
fact,
easy to accept, I would say, right?
right, that they share the kale is, with us.
Yeah, but they have the power of prayer. They circumcise themselves, right? We are told that they have a share in the land of Israel as long as they are getting the reward for their circumcision. But it won't be forever because their circumcision is not done fully. There are three stages and they do two only. Meaning, in
Okay.
other words, they have the potential. There are some good things, but they don't take it to the right place.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, anybody else?
Yeah, hi. Can I ask for, it's more of a
Hi.
clarification. I was having trouble logging in on my phone because I'm at work, but I came in, I think, right at the best part when you started explaining why there's this whole part about halves connecting. You said about chetzi shekel, right? Like why, right? Is that where the beginning of
That what
this
I didn't hear you? That what?
chetzi shekel, like why is it
Yeah,
always
yeah.
given half a shekel? And it was, and then you went into the whole rest of it, which I took notes, but it made a jumbled mess. I mean, it makes perfect sense. It's very, very beautiful. And I wanted to say thank you. You said who it's by, but I forgot. But the person or the sefer who had this idea about the chetzi shekel, did you said someone, I don't remember who you said.
What we said was that we have to be giving and taking. Only together we are one. That all of creation is giving and taking. Two halves that come
No.
together.
Who is the sefer though? There was an idea. Who brought this
Ah,
idea?
it's the Be'er Moshe.
Oh,
It's the
Be'er
Osher of the Rebbe.
Moshe.
Most of the things
Klausenberger
that I said, besides the things that I quoted in the name of commentaries, like the Kli Yakar, Orach Chaim, and so on. The Midrash, right? But the idea is the idea of the Be'er
the
Moshe, the Osher
original
of the Rebbe.
idea. Okay, thank you. Thank you
Sure.
so much. It was a beautiful class, Mr. Sean.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, we should have a happy Yom Tef, a good Yom Tef. We should be able to accept the Torah and we should hear good news from all of Klal Israel.
Amen.
Amen.
All
Thank
too.
you.
Call to fight.